Welcome to the Future of Learning and Work podcast. I'm your host, Spencer Kier. Each week, I highlight the people and companies shaping the future of education, training, and work. This week, I have two guests from Synthesis School, co-founder and CEO Crispin Frank, as well as chief evangelist Anna Fabrega. Synthesis is a weekly enrichment program where students learn through competitive games, also known as simulations. Synthesis was born out of Ad Astra, a school started for students of SpaceX employees by Elon Musk and teacher Josh Dan. We talk about the value of games and learning, why how you learn is more important than what, and much, much more. I hope you enjoy the episode, and don't forget to share and review.
Similar to you, Spencer, I've been interested in education for like a really long time. I started an online tutoring company about 8 years ago. Back then, you know, the technology actually worked all right for that, but the, you know, culture was just people just kind of weren't interested in doing that by and large. So we'd gotten funded by Imagine K-12, which is an education focused kind of like Y Combinator. They ended up just folding into Y Combinator about a year after we went through there. But I met Sam Chowdhury and Liam Don, who were the founders of Class Dojo, and they kind of took off, you know, right away. So I joined there as a way to try and figure out, you know, I was always interested in, you know, the idea that, you know, the ideas are there, but we do not do a good job through our education system of kind of spreading great ideas. And so I thought with Class Dojo's scale, they would, they'd ultimately just be able to reach a bunch of people. And I was right about that. That's how I ended up meeting Josh. I made a series of videos for Class Dojo about, mindsets, like growth mindset primarily. And they got viewed like 10 million times in the first month that we released them through Class Dojo's. It's like a network of K-5 teachers and families. And, you know, the founders are really excited about that. And we started, you know, looking around for other ideas that we could scale through the platform. And we ended up going down to SpaceX and meeting Josh. And I was just kind of blown away by Josh. I thought I'd kind of seen everything in education because I'd visited so many classrooms and just heard about so many different things through Class Dojo. But what Josh was doing just completely blew me away, particularly Synthesis, and spent the next couple of years just kind of like building up a friendship with him and, you know, trying to figure out how we could scale up Synthesis and make it more accessible to people who, you know, maybe don't own their own rocket company or work at SpaceX. And so pandemic hit and, you know, Josh and I started talking more seriously about it and decided to just kind of go for it. So we launched in August was when our first paying customer was. So it's been a little, almost 7 months since we've been going now.
Awesome. And Anna?
Yeah, so I'm a former elementary school teacher. I taught over 5 years. And then after seeing all the ins and outs of the system and how many things were not working, I decided to quit in 2019. And ever since I turned to the internet and I started building my online persona, writing and creating content online and growing my audience under my Ms. Fab brand, and then different people in education and in the alternative education space started reaching out to connect. And they would mostly find me through my writing or my Twitter account. And then one of those first ones to reach out was actually Crispin back when he worked at Class Dojo. So we connected a few times over the pandemic. And it's funny because when I met Crispin, we were actually trying to see if we would collaborate over a project for the company that he used to work at. But I wasn't really excited about it. And then in one of those conversations, he mentioned Synthesis, that at that point, the company was still not public. It was still in stealth mode. And he invited me to observe one of their beta testing sessions. And ever since that moment, I was just completely hooked. Especially because ever since I left the classroom, I had been in search of new approaches to learning, and I wanted to find a learning experience that would teach kids the things that really matter nowadays, and in a way that was actually engaging and that they wanted to be part of it. And Synthesis, after learning about their mission and observing different sessions, it ended up being everything that I had envisioned for the future of childhood education. And I mean, I went to 10 different schools growing up and taught hundreds of kids in various countries. And this was really the first time that I had seen a group of kids that were so excited about a learning experience. And granted that this was online, right? This during COVID, so as we know, many kids had experienced remote learning online, very passive, not engaging. And the fact that, you know, I had never seen anything like this and it was online, it just really got me excited about the future of the company. So we started chatting about how I could help them with the launch of the company. And eventually we decided that it made sense for us to join forces and continue building and getting Synthesis to as many children as we can around the world. So that's what we've been working around the clock for the past few months. And it's been incredible.
That's awesome to hear that the two of you had a relationship before Synthesis even got started. And it was just a matter, it's almost like the two of you were destined to work together. It was just a matter of finding the right timing.
That's right.
So, and I'll let the two of you decide who wants to respond to which questions, but what is Synthesis and what is the educational philosophy and how does it differ from, say, a public school?
Yeah, I can take that one. I think there is, you know, the roots of Synthesis come from, there's an old video of Elon doing an interview with Chinese television station, and they're kind of asking him, like, right when they started the school, like, you know, why'd you start your own school? And there are two principles. You know, Elon's is the first principles approach, and he lays out the principles in that interview. And the first one was, didn't want the kids separated by age. There's just kind of like nonsensical. You lose the ability to, you know, learn from people who are a little bit ahead of you and the ability to teach those who are a little bit behind, which is also ends up teaching yourself. So that was number one. And number two was that school tends to focus on teaching tools. It's a very disjointed way, right? Because of the scheduling. It's like, you're going to learn, you know, math at this hour and English at this hour. And he thought that was problematic, which I agree. And Josh obviously agreed with, and thought you should instead, you know, life is kind of like about solving problems. Like to be educated, like you want to be able to have the ability to solve problems. And so instead of taking a tool focused approach, you should take a problem focused approach. And that's kind of that was kind of like the directive for Josh to start developing, you know, some of these ideas. Synthesis is basically, you know, we call them games or simulations, but what they are is complex, sort of open-ended problems that are, you know, there are many ways to solve these problems through the games. So you can bring your own creativity, your own kind of perspective to it. Every kid can kind of contribute in a different way. And so it's basically, you know, Synthesis is team problem solving in the format of games. So you're collaborative within your team and you're competing with the other teams. And that's, you know, that's the basic of it. It's like a problem focused approach to education that makes it fun and utilizes a kind of competitive element to keep kids pushing themselves and pushing each other to ever higher levels of analytical thinking and collaboration skill.
When you frame it as using games for problem solving, it sounds really straightforward. And in my opinion, as a millennial, it sounds great in the way education should be. But I imagine there's been a stigma with many parents that you've had to overcome in regards to the use of games as a tool for learning. How have you guys overcome that stigma?
Yeah, well, the reality is that, like Chrisman explained, we use the word games, but really they're simulations because they're very similar to what the kind of problems that kids encounter in the real world. But also, we use games not to entertain kids because kids already have a lot of that, but as a vehicle to sort of create this shared experiences that Chrisman was talking about that allow the kids to develop their voice and execute tough decisions, which is something that they really don't get a chance to do in the classroom. And for them to, we use games to expose them to like higher level concepts that, again, they wouldn't learn in any other place, like mental models and game theory. So as parents understand that it's not just you joining a game, but rather that's one of the things we use to hook kids, but really it's those unique experiences that we design that make the difference, then they understand the value and where the nutritional or educational component comes in. And then what I was going to add earlier was, you know, having taught at traditional schools for many years, the biggest differences that I see between, you know, schools and what we do at Synthesis, although we're not a school, but we are trying to do, you know, teach kids the things that they're not learning, is that we're teaching kids how to think, not what to think. So in traditional schools, it's all about the what, right? But at Synthesis, we really focus on how, and that is something that Elon and Josh would talk a lot when they were creating at Astra, the school where Synthesis grew out of, which is to think from first principles, right? So students deconstruct the knowledge and then they reconstruct. And we don't follow a scripted curriculum or we give kids, you know, you're going to memorize this or memorize that, but rather we try to encourage them to ask questions and to break things apart and to reason from first principles and not by analogy. So that's something that really called my attention when I first started observing the sessions. And then also the way that the kids are really empowered because they get to make decisions that have consequences and meaning for them. So for example, when they're playing one of the simulations, if they make a bad strategic decision, then they can let their teammates down, right? So the simulations that we design are really, you know, they push students to take a stance and to understand trade-offs, which again, is not something that they see in school. So they really have to like analyze their choices and they understand that there's not a right answer. So that's where the conundrums come in. And then how it's very chaotic in a way that it's very different in school. Everything's like in order and there's structure, but here we really embrace complexity and chaos because that's how the world is, right? It's really complex, really chaotic and unpredictable. So we really believe that the best way to prepare kids for real life is under similar circumstances. So instead of doing things like watering things down or telling kids all the rules, we actually let them figure things out and we let them find order, quote unquote, among all the chaos. And our simulations actually get more and more complex over time. And Chrisman can talk about this later because we understand that not only can kids handle complexity, but they actually crave it. And that's one of the things that we've noticed that hooks them to our program. It's not necessarily the fact that they're playing a game, but the fact that things get more challenging, more complex. There's a lot of uncertainty. You always have that element of surprise. So we're really tapping into those emotional rewards that kids crave the most. And it's something really interesting that we figured out in this program. And then the kids have chance to find their unique voice. And we talk about this a lot because the experiences that we set up, like not everyone has to be a leader, but everyone needs to understand how top level decisions are made and they all contribute to discussions in a way that feel authentic to them. And, you know, in school, they don't really have a chance to do this. And here you hear kids stepping up and sharing their views and changing their mind. And this is very similar to what you encounter in the real world. So to me, those are really the things that make Synthesis unique and that it's make it very different from any other learning experience out there.
That reminded me of something I thought when I first saw Synthesis, where I was like, I was watching the kids kind of, you know, they're kind of in like a heated discussion, is very analytical and they're having to listen to each other and take on board, you know, change their mind when differing viewpoints come in. And I was just like, this is what I do at work. You know, I was starting like the content arm at Class Dojo, like a tech company. And I was like, this is what we do. Like, this is like work. And I think that was like Elon's inspiration to start the school as well. It's like, you're, you know, working with all these brilliant people across, you know, SpaceX, Tesla, and all of his companies. And it's, you're looking at what your kids are doing in school and you're like, these two things do, you know, are not remotely similar. What you're doing in school is zero preparation for life and maybe even has like a pretty strong negative effect because it trains you in, you know, a sort of like a passive mindset, like the idea that you can, you know, you just need to deliver the right answer to an instructor. And what I saw with Synthesis is like kids kind of owning the problems and discussing and analyzing in a way that was just to me more similar to like my work in tech companies. And that kind of, that's what like really drew me to it. So I'm like, if you want to do this kind of high level work, this kind of high level analytical and collaborative work, then what would be better than just being able to practice those skills from like a really young age?
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's the biggest thing that has stood out to me as I was researching the company. And then during the course of this conversation is that Synthesis aims to create an experience that's more aligned to reality, to what kids are experiencing outside of school. And increasingly so, we're moving into a future where I think I read something like 60% of jobs that kids today will work on in 30 years don't even exist today. So we're preparing them for a very uncertain future in terms of roles, yet the mindset and skills and characteristics you have are going to stay pretty much the same. You need to be curious. You need to be a good problem solver. You need to be able to work with teams. You have to have agency and be self-driven. And so you're just creating that environment that the public school has the public school system has historically failed to create.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't limit it to the public school system, right? Like Elon had his kids in the best schools available, certainly.
Fair.
Right? He could afford anywhere and was famous, and still not good enough. There's some good things about the existing system. I think it's spread, you know, literacy fairly well, but you know, for the most part, it's not preparing kids for what they're actually going to do. It's not giving them the mindsets or the skills or the knowledge. And I think we can do that. I think we can do it much better online. I just, yeah, that's kind of a core belief.
Can you talk about something I've heard you say repeatedly on Twitter is the inspiration you got from Taleb and his ideas around uncertainty and probability and anti-fragility. Can you speak to how that's inspired the curriculum and structure at Synthesis?
Yeah, I mean, I read Taleb when I was, I don't know, 18 or 19, like just came across him in a university library. I think only Fooled by Randomness was written then. And I've gotten deeper on the complexity ideas over the years. And, you know, it just, what I've heard from people who study complexity and kind of try to teach this kind of thing is that practitioners usually just get it right away. It's the idea that the world does not need to, you know, the universe has no obligation to line itself up to your models. So in, you know, in fields that are kind of fast moving, evolving, you can't, there is no like book knowledge that you can acquire that will be a reliable guide to the future. And so I see that, you know, I didn't like invent Synthesis. Like Josh is something he'd come up with in the classroom over the years, but we connected on that idea right away. First, one of the first things he said to me was, you know, kids crave complexity, and it's complexity in that Talebian sense where there's no clear answer. There's no optimal way to win the game, right? There's too many things going on. So if you try to predict who's going to win the games and simulations at Synthesis, then you might try to go for like the higher IQ kids, the one that can solve math problems the fastest, but they won't work because if you're really good at that area, but you lack listening skills, you can't collaborate. If your team, you know, just doesn't want to help you out, it's not going to work. If you don't have the ability to tinker with your environment and kind of learn from the feedback, then you're not going to succeed. And so that's the way life is, right? It's not about maximizing your score on a test. It's kind of about, Scott Adams has this idea of skill stack. You're trying to blend a bunch of different skills together in a unique way within yourself. And I think Synthesis allows that. If you don't have to have the highest IQ to succeed, you just have to figure out what you can bring to the table. And I think that's a lot like life, and, you know, kind of jives with a lot of Taleb's ideas.
Switching gears a little bit, Anna, how are you quantifying student outcomes? How are you ensuring that this isn't all theoretical and maybe in the moment you can see that the student is learning or growing, but what's the output of that? How do you track that? And then in the same vein, what kind of feedback are you hearing from students to support these ideas?
Yeah, so we actually are not focusing. So it's interesting you asked that, because parents from a more traditional background, like that's the first thing they want to know. Like, well, where are the grades? Where's the certificate? How do we know what the students are learning? And really, the way that Synthesis is set up is that as the kids come back and keep experiencing the simulations and the reflection component, then, you know, over time, the different concepts start to click. And what we ask parents is to sort of like think of where their child is at the beginning of Synthesis, and then over time, ask themselves again whether they see their children improving in the way that they reason through problems or how they synthesize concepts. And I really like how Chrisman shared the other day an example. He said, well, he was, you know, as to parents, like, can your child explain how, for example, the network structures in Constellation, that's one of our first simulations, are similar to the network effects that drive the growth of YouTube, you know, how they're connecting something in the simulations to the real world? Or can they describe how the art market in Art for All, that's another of our simulations, how that's similar to the stock market, and use their knowledge to analyze the GameStop situation that's been all over the news? So these are the kinds of things that we ask parents to start to pay attention to. So we're really trying to stay away from that, you know, tempt to, like, a lot of people are tempted to quantify things and find ways to sort of like show results. But then you start to, when you focus on those things, you start to lose the essence of what we're really trying to do here. We're trying to help kids learn how to think and become better problem solvers and you know, make ethical decisions. And you can't really measure that in the way that you are used to measuring things in school. So whenever parents ask that question, we're trying to get them to see the things that really matter in a more organic way. I don't know if that makes sense, or Chris, maybe you want to add something to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like a rigorous answer to that question is exactly how we got the education system to where it is now, right? A lot of what goes on in on classrooms is a result of things like the SAT, like college admissions, over-focus on what is measurable at the expense of what is important, which is another idea I picked up from Taleb. So I think it's important for us to, you know, my son's not quite old enough to be in synthesis yet, but he will be in a year. And it's just important for me, first and foremost, to make what I want for him, what I believe is like the right experience to develop these skills. I think we will figure out ways to measure it, but, you know, it's just not a priority right now. And, you know, honestly, a lot of parents, I think they see, you know, they overhear the conversations their kids are having in synthesis and they just get it. And parents who are really focused on that traditional path and, you know, they want like a number and like a score, you know, synthesis just might not be right for them at this point. And, you know, we're okay with that. I think we'll get to a point where we can measure this stuff a little better, but I don't want to sacrifice the magic of what's going on now in exchange for putting some precise number on it.
Learning is far more than the grade you get or it shows up on a piece of paper. And I love Anna, your examples of drawing connections between or seeing the patterns within the stock market and constellations and how those are intimately tied to the fundamental concepts that students are learning as a part of these simulations. And although that might be more qualitative in nature, I think when you see it as a parent, you see a student's ability to draw those connections, it's far more powerful.
Exactly. The way that I think about it is like we've resorted to a lot of nonsense in the name of accountability, right? So for years, schools have been obsessed with testing and grades in an attempt to sort of, like you were saying, quantify and standardize student learning. But the reality is that when you do that, it makes kids see grades as the very point of school. That's what they're, you know, they've been told to focus on in order to succeed. It's what parents look at to know if their kids are learning. It's what teachers use in order to sort of like sort and compare, right? It's what countries use to rank their schools. But the reality is that while standardized tests may tell us lots of things, they tell us little about the process of learning. Right? Like the most genuine parts of learning often happen outside of school when kids are relaxed, they're exploring, they're creating, or they're trying to figure things out and trying things out without worrying about being judged. So I really think that part of the reason why students are learning all these things at synthesis is because they don't feel that pressure that they have to perform for a test or for a grade, or they don't have to impress anyone that way. So they're just genuinely motivated to learn for the sake of learning. And if we were to we will look for ways to sort of showcase the learning of the students, but perhaps more with portfolios and things like that. But we don't want to, like Chrisman was saying, lose the magic of synthesis because we try to do what schools have traditionally tried to do, which is quantify everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what we're working on right now is sort of what Josh calls like telling the story of student growth. So, you know, that's like, we want to have, when parents sign their child up for synthesis, we want there to be an adult who's looking out for that child's growth overall. And that's maybe not as simple as like giving them a numerical grade, but you know, you can see things where the kids who have been in it for a while, they might be really smart at like the analytical piece, but they might sort of talk over the other kids in their group, which is leading to them getting like a substandard result. And so we want to be able to have that conversation with the kids and with parents about like, hey, you're doing really great in this area. The primary thing you want to work on right now is listening skills. So let's work on that and let's look for evidence that you're improving on that within synthesis. So rather than giving them like a grade, which gives them pressure, just kind of let the kids know, like, this will help you win the game more. If you develop these better listening skills, you will win more. Kids want to win. And so it's sort of easier to have those conversations in the context of synthesis than it would be for you know, something that they don't care about. If you're, you know, talking about math and they don't care about math and you're giving them a grade, it's just like a punishing thing. Whereas with synthesis, it's more growth focused.
As it should be. On the note of portfolios and the conversations you might have with students and parents, I'm curious how you see synthesis evolving from here. So one element is you can continue to build out your library of simulations to help students practice and understand different concepts. But there's all this supporting infrastructure that you can add around that too. And you may even decide to extend into other activity types. So what does that roadmap look like?
Yeah, right now, I mean, it's just keeping up with the growth is kind of the biggest thing. There are sort of more students who want to get in than we can handle. And so scaling that, the initial thing up is the goal right now. I think the big thing that I'm coming to realize, like where we're ultimately going, is creating a culture. So, you know, it's one thing to do synthesis, you know, an hour a week, or maybe like an hour and a half a week once we get this new program with intensives out. But it's another thing to be part of a culture. If you can sign your eight-year-old up and through these synthesis games can get introduced into this culture of kids and, you know, mentors, facilitators who are all kind of shooting for the same goal, right? Which is like to change, develop your skills so you can change the world in a positive way. I think that's like really powerful. So as far as like what exactly, you know, what experiences we add to do that, I'm not exactly sure. But I think just as I reflect on my experience as a parent, like what I want for my own kids and what I pick up from conversations with parents, you know, that is really important. Like, I think we can establish this kind of culture. I think it's much easier to do on the internet, right? It's just hard to find people who are like-minded, you know, when you're kind of an outlier. It's hard to find people who are like-minded in your local geographic area. And because we can access the whole world, you know, we can help kids find the people who are most aligned with their interests, who they like spending time with, and kind of help them go on that journey together and build themselves up in a progression, right? Which I think will be much more powerful than anything that you do for like an hour a week. So I think of that as like my sons do jujitsu, and the great thing about jujitsu is like it's got a progression. Like you develop in it over time. Every step builds on the previous steps. And if you stick with it, you know, you can build up sort of this incredible ability that you wouldn't be able to develop if you just kind of went and audited martial arts classes, you know, across the years. So I think that kind of culture, that progression is really important for the long term.
Yeah. And we, you know, the company, like Chrisman mentioned, started 6 months ago, and we're constantly evolving. So we, you know, based on the challenges that the students are taking on and the feedback that we get from our community, we continue to create the different experiences. And most recently, we were coming out with this thing called intensives. It's actually starting this week. And these are designed to give a more like personalized feedback to our students and for them to foster like deeper collaboration between them and between the different cohorts. Because right now the students are in one cohort with a number of students. So this is sort of so that they can connect with other students and to help them make more enduring connections. And kids do things like they assemble this reflective portfolio and they take on more creative tasks. So that's sort of like the next phase that we're testing right now, actually. And these are designed for our most like dedicated students. And they're part of the membership of Synthesis, right? So what's interesting is that kids opt in this. And this is for the students who like really want the real thing in addition to that hour a week. So for those that are willing to put in the hard work and to get that extra. So I guess we'll keep adding things like this and testing and seeing what works and what resonates with our students. But yeah, those are sort of the things that we have right now.
The community element and the ability to get peer support and build relationships and grow with other people at a similar stage in life, interested in the similar things. I think it's powerful, and it's something we're seeing not just in like early education, but also with cohort-based courses in general across a number of ages and demographics. And I think that's a underappreciated element of learning.
Absolutely.
I wanted to kind of shift gears one of the most fascinating things to me is this title you have of chief evangelist. And that's something I think maybe even as early as like 3 or 5 years ago, we never even would have thought would be a title. But now I think it's something that's going to be, we're going to see throughout every industry and every company, because these walls between brands and the employees of brands and their audiences being broken down. You no longer need a marketing team, a PR team. You have someone like yourself that represents the brand. So I'm curious how you think about the role of a chief evangelist, and then maybe if there are any interesting examples you've seen with Synthesis in particular.
I actually give Chrisman all the credit for this. I had never heard this title before. And when we were trying to find out how we wanted to work together, he was like, because one of the words that would often come was like influencer, but I didn't really associate myself with that term, because usually an influencer is more in the superficial level and they sort of like promote different brands and different products. And that's not what I wanted to do. Like, I truly wanted to find something that I believe in. And when I get really passionate about something like Synthesis, then I just do it naturally. So I was already promoting and talking about Synthesis before I even worked there, right? When I first got introduced to it. And Chrisman was the one who said, well, Anna, you know, this is sort of like the way that I see your role in this company and how you could add the most value. So maybe Chrisman, you want to talk about that. And then, and I have started to see other companies now talk about this role and the importance of this role. And I think it makes sense, right? Being affiliated with something that you truly believe in. So it's easy to talk about it and to share about it because you truly feel passionate about the product. So yeah, Chrisman.
Yeah, and I think that's like just a fundamentally good thing for the world. You know, I think in the old world, you hire like a, you know, it's like a PR person and they kind of court the media and sort of, you know, you have these like institutional gatekeepers and sort of just like a paid, like hired gun to get your message out there. And I think it's much more interesting to have someone who, you know, really actually cares about what you're doing. You know, that enthusiasm, that passion like comes through. So it's, you know, honestly, like a more effective, you know, spokesperson for the company, because she does like, you know, fundamentally believes in what we're doing and is interested in it. And I think she's a more trustworthy source for, you know, parents who are thinking about enrolling their kids in Synthesis as well, right? Because she's been a teacher. Like, she's just, you know, it's just an acknowledgement of the reality that like we've gone away from this professionalized like PR role, and you need to figure out another way to get your message out where people actually are, where they're actually congregating. And that's one thing I love about Twitter is like, you know, I don't follow newspapers on Twitter. Like, I follow individuals who I connect with. And, you know, I think that is just quite obvious to me. Like, that's where the world is going. It's pretty obvious with in the world of startups. And if the rest of the world hasn't caught up, it's just a matter of time. But I think this is just going to be the way to get your message out in the future. People want to connect with other people, individuals, not institutions. And, you know, Anna and I are just, and Anna was just very philosophically aligned with this and, you know, has been able to push our thinking, you know, at the same time that she's, you know, talking to customers and talking to other influencers on Twitter and that sort of thing.
Agreed with everything you just said. It's the way things are moving. It's obvious this was not a forced fit. The two of you and the things you say, both on Twitter and in the course of this conversation, you're aligned philosophically. You're both great spokespeople for the brand. In closing, since I know we only have a couple of minutes left, I was curious to learn more about whether either of you had any formative educational experiences that you remember as you were growing up that really made you interested in education and learning. And maybe, Anna, for you, the flip side of that, having been a teacher, if there are any moments as an instructor that really stand out to you.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I've been reflecting about this a lot because of the nature of my work, but I'm originally from Panama, but growing up, we moved around a lot. So by the time I was 15, I had already been to 10 schools around the world and lived in 7 different countries because of my dad's job. So I really now as an adult, when I look back and I sort of like reflect on all these experiences, I remember a lot about my experiences outside of school. And I remember very, very little about the actual learning, quote unquote, that was happening in these different places. When I became a teacher, and then I really got, you know, the moment where it clicked was when I started to observe in the different student teaching placements that you had to go for hours and hours when you're going through at school. I started to notice, like, they would put me with like the best teachers to observe them and learn the best from them and see the best practices. And really all I could see was the students. Like, forget about the teacher. Like, are the students actually learning? And there was very little learning. And that's when I realized like schools are very focused on the specifics of what the kids are learning and very little in whether the kids are learning at all or their attitudes towards learning. So it became very evident that the way that teaching and learning is done in schools is really not working. So that paired up with the fact that I don't remember the learning that happened in all this, you know, 10 different schools and my experience in all these places, really made me sort of like realize, okay, I sort of want to change this, right? So this atypical school experience for me provided a springboard for me to want to transform this. And after reflecting on this, that's when I made the decision that I wanted to find something outside the school system that I could have a bigger impact. So to me, really, that experience was what shaped me into what I'm doing now and who I am today.
I remember the moment I knew I would work in education, and that I was 17, and I really loved to read, you know, all when I was a kid. Like, pretty much as soon as I started to read, I always had my face buried in a book. Our town was it was so small. We had like a tiny little bookstore, like kiosk in the mall, where I could get like Goosebumps books, and which are like these little like horror stories for kids. And I read like a bunch of Stephen King, because that was like, people sold those at garage sales, and so I could read those. And then these people ended up doing like a traveling bookstore where they would rent out a farm and put up a tent and have a bookstore in the tent like twice a year in my town. I remember going there. My mom took me one time, and I got a book by Tony Robbins. I think it's called Unlimited Power, something like that. And it had these just like pretty obvious ideas in it. Like, you know, maybe you should have a vision for what you want to do with your life. And, you know, maybe you should kind of work toward that. Like, it just like, no one had ever mentioned anything like that to me. And it was all when I was almost at the end of high school. And that kind of blew me away that like there are all these like practical ideas for how you could improve your life and like have a more positive impact and just live a better life. And no one bothered. This is just like not even close to anything that you would pick up in the school curriculum. And I just thought about how world changing it would be if you could get good ideas out to people, you know, earlier in life. And it still kind of like frustrates me to this day. If I ever come across like a major mental model or idea, you know, on the one hand, I'm happy that I've learned this new thing, but on the other, it's annoying that I haven't learned it earlier. And so I decided, yeah, after reading that book, which is crazy because I don't really remember much of what was in it, and not like a huge Tony Robbins fan by any stretch now, but just the meta idea that there are ideas that can change your life if you can be exposed to them and acquire them, kind of set me on the path where I thought that would be the most important way to, or, you know, the biggest way to influence the world.
I think that's the perfect note to end on. In closing, where can people find the two of you and learn more about Synthesis?
Yeah, Synthesis is synthesis.is is our website. I'm at Chrisman Frank on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm Anna Fabrega 11 on Twitter as well. You can subscribe to my newsletter that I send on Fridays about childhood education and alternative education at afabrega.com. And you can also follow our Synthesis Instagram account and YouTube accounts. And you can also follow me on YouTube.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk. I love what you guys are doing with Synthesis, and I can't wait to follow along and see where you take it.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to review and share, and stay tuned for more episodes.